many psalms and looked at them in depth. And so in December here, we're getting to Psalm 119, going to begin to look at Psalm 119 just a bit today, and give you a little bit about it today, and then probably continue with it next week. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now, those can be a blessing when you need them, but then when you don't need them, they can be really annoying. Amen. Psalm 119, verse number 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Now, how many are sad that we're coming to December, which means the end of Psalms for the soul? Amen. It's been great going through the Psalms this year and just seeing what the psalmists go through and how it just depicts what we go through on a regular basis and just a range of emotions that are there. And I just love the way that the psalmists always bear their heart honestly, whether it's good times, whether it's bad times. They always talk about what they're going through in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Let's read that collectively together, starting in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. On the theme of Psalm 119, if you have read this before, is the psalmist's love for the Word of God. He talks about the Word of God in practically every verse of this psalm. And this psalm has 176 verses in it. Amen. He talks about the Word of God over and over again. Unusually, this psalm here is unnamed. And this unnamed psalmist is in love with the Word of God, which is obvious. In these opening verses, the psalmist details what the Word of God is and what it can do for and in the life of anyone who applies it. John Phillips has this commentary in regards to these verses here. In this psalm, we do not have here a cold legalism of Mosaic precept, but the warmth of one in love with love with the Lord. He goes on to say, we have the passion of a poet, precept rhapsodized by poetry, law transfigured by love, demand elevated to desire, edict replaced by emotion, fact matched by fervor, enforcement made easy by enjoyment. He is bound to the Word of God, not by chains of law, but by magnetic attraction of love. In other words, this psalmist loves the Word of God, and nobody has to make him love it. He loves it because it's the Word of God. Amen. He loves it for what it can do and what it means in his life. And I do trust that you love it the same way. Amen. The Word of God is that which can change your life for eternity. And the psalmist understands that, and he's writing this psalm. This psalm is also an acrostic. It consists of 22 stanzas, each consisting of 8 verses. You see the first 8 listed here. Above that is Aleph, and you would go down each one of these 8 segments. And each one has the Hebrew alphabet letter in front of it going down in order. Some of the possible authors include David, Hezekiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Malachi, and Daniel. Those are all noteworthy who may have penned this down. Of course, they're not for certain. Amen. But one thing is for certain, the one who did loved the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. One theme that you'll find throughout this psalm is that the psalmist is writing through suffering afflictions. He's going through some difficulties. Notice verse 22. He says this, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me. That could be Daniel. Amen. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Notice verse number 42. He says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Go down to verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision. yet have I not declined from thy law. Come down to verse 67. He says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Verse 71, he says this, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And over again, as you read through here, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. You'll find his affliction going on throughout these stanzas here at verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Most of what the psalmist talks about, he's talking to his Lord about what he's going through. He's not talking to someone else. He's talking to his Lord about what he's facing. This is a good illustration for you and I that no matter what we're going through, we should be resolved to know, to love, and to stand in the word of God. It is the promise of God that's going to take us through. Amen. This psalmist going through his affliction says, you know what? It's good for me. It's good for me because God is still good. Now, folks, we're going to face some afflictions. You might as well count them down. You're going to face afflictions. You're going to face some before Christmas, I'm sure. But you know what? God is not going to change. His word is still what we need. And this psalmist is going to talk to us this morning about what this word of God can do for and in the life of anyone who applies it and trusts it to the end with resolve. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for Psalm 119. Lord, it is one of my favorite psalms in the collection of psalms. Lord, we love Psalm 23. We love Psalm 100. We love Psalm 51 when we need to repent. Lord, we love so many of the blessed psalms here. Psalm 1 about the blessed man. So many of the psalms that we've gone through this year are beloved to us all. But none talk about your word the way this one does. Oh God, if we don't have a love for your word, I pray that today we would fall more in love with your word. We might embrace it for what it is, what it can do, and how it takes us through that which we will face in this life. Lord, it not only saves us, it sustains us, it secures us, stabilizes us, Lord, and allows us to see so that we can travel down the road of life until we get to glory. God, help us this morning to really see the love that the psalmist had. And then, Lord, to have that same type of love for your word. Lord, to take us through everything that we will face in this life. Lord, once again, there's one today without Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If they have not repented of their sins, they have not called on Jesus Christ to be their Lord, their Savior, and their Master. God, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, they would embrace the love of God in Christ Jesus. And they would look to the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they would be gloriously saved today, for it's everlasting too late. For those of us that are saved, that are Christians, God, may we fall more in love with your word. And Lord, be resolved to be in it even when the tough times come. Lord, knowing that you have already promised to take us through to the other side. Thank you for loving us. Lord, meet with us now. Bless in the children's area and the nursery. Lord, may we have our minds focused on you today. May we put aside distractions and focus on the word of God, which can change our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Loving shepherd, my hope forever. the darkness invades the light all around me, and the shadows make life so take me
Mrs. Dawson. Amen. God will always take us through. Amen. By the way, we're going to have valleys, but God said that he would be with us through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Amen. I'm glad it's through and not to stay there forever. Amen. He said, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. That's one of the great things about the Psalms. They depict the humanness of us and the vulnerabilities of us and the frailness of us as well. Well, this psalmist here is going to detail to you and to I his great love for the Word of God. Now, if you would just think about some of the things that you love. Amen. Some people love sewing. Some people love fishing. Some people love golfing. Some people love watching cartoons. Some people love eating. Amen. Some people love chocolate. Some folks love, a lot of different things. And if you had to explain about what you love, think about how you would explain that. You'd be very expressive. I mean, you'd be very expressive. Some people love their grandchildren. I mean, they will show you every picture, man. They go down there, and I mean, every, my soul. They show you every picture of the grandkids, amen? And some love, I mean, they love their children. They love their clothes. They love their shoes. They love their car. And they'll tell you everything about it in explicit detail. This psalmist here loves his Lord. And he's going to tell you in explicit detail how he loves his Lord and he loves his Lord's word and what that word can do for him. And in encouraging himself, I believe he encourages us as well in the same realm, in the same fashion. In these opening verses here, verses 1 through 8, we're going to look at three key points. The psalmist remains happy. The psalmist remains holy. And the psalmist remains humble despite all the afflictions and despite all the adversities he's going through. Now, we're not going to cover all 176 verses because we can't do that by the end of the month. Amen. But we will try to at least get through these opening verses here and possibly in the next week or two get down to verses 9 through 16. Possibly, I cannot guarantee you on anything. If you guys listen up fast, I'll try and speak fast, and we'll get through them fast. Amen. But never do I want to rush the Word of God, especially when it comes to our understanding and our comprehension and then our ability to practice that which we hear. See, the Word of God is good in and of itself, but it's better when you and I get it, digest it, and then able to regurgitate it for our lives. And we've got to digest the Word of God. And it's got to be practical to us. And so as we look at this, the afflictions and the adversities this psalmist is going through, he is vowing to know, to keep, and to cling to God's Word over and over again, despite what happens in his life. And I hope that's your testimony today. You know, God, I don't care what happens. You know, I'm vowing to keep your word. My job may go, as we heard from Brother Serge. My wife may leave. My husband may leave. My children may go astray. My children may die. My relatives may forsake me. You know, my house may burn down. I may lose my life savings. I may lose my investments. But God, you know what? I'm going to trust your word.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Folks, that needs to be our testimony.
Yes, sir.
Our testimony needs to be, I don't care what happens, I want the Word of God, I need the Word of God, everything else is temporal, I can do without, but I cannot do without the Word of God.
Yes, right, Pastor, that's right.
Because you can't. The person that thinks he can, you're a loser.
Yeah, that's right.
You're a loser. You're not going to make it. This life and this world will swallow you up and it will engulf you in its problems and its persistent necessities of life that we think we need.
Right.
And you really don't need.
Amen.
Amen. This psalmist lets you know, hey, I love the Lord and I love his word. And he's going to tell us what it can do in his life. Blessed means happy, happy, or oh, the happiness, but not because of happenings. It's a deep joy rooted in God, knowing that all is well, and it's centered in the heart of a believer because he knows his God, and he knows his God means well for him. And so he can be blessed or he can be happy. And it's not the world's happiness. The world's happy because of prosperity, because of pleasures. The world is happy because of all the other things that they can get in life. But this psalmist says, it's not in any of those things. It's in that I know you, my God. Now I can be happy knowing I know my wife. And that brings me joy. It brings me great joy. But not the same joy that brings me knowing my God. Knowing my God brings me some serious joy. So this psalmist says it's all well. I'm blessed. Ironically, Psalm 1 starts off the same way. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the man. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is where? in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night, and what? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Hey, the Bible goes on to say his leaf's not going to wither. Whatever he does, it's going to prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, but what? The righteous shall. The righteous shall. So the psalmist says here, I'm blessed. I'm happy. Oh, the happiness of me. These first seven verses here detail what will happen in the life of those who make the Word of God the center of their life. Now, there are those who have the Word of God, but he's not in the center. He's kind of on the fingertips. Or on this fingertip. Kind of on the toe. Kind of over here on that toe. And he can shake it off real easy. Shake it off real easy. Shake it off real easy. You know how you're doing? You walk through the dirt. You walk through something that you don't like and you shake it off. You get something on that hand, you fling it off. Get some on that hand, you kind of fling it off. And that's how some people have the Word of God. They fling it off. They shake it off. But this psalmist has it in the center of his heart. It's in the center of his life. Hey, he doesn't have everything revolving around all this other stuff. The Word of God is here, and everything else evolves around the Word of God. And it's going to give him some balance. I'm going to be stable. I'll know where I'm going. I'll know how to get there. I'm not going to be wishy-washy. I'm not going to be flinging it off. I'm not going to be kicking it off. I know it's here, and it's going to balance me through life. The ungodly are not so. This psalmist makes the Word of God the center of his life, and everything evolves around that. God help us to have the Word of God on our tips. We just fling it off. Shake it off. God help us. I can take it or leave it. If I don't read my Bible, who cares? And by the way, may I say this? God doesn't need us. You need God. God without you will do fine. He did fine without you. But you without God is a mess. Say, preacher, that's not good grammar, but it's true. It's true. Hey, God can operate because he's self-existent. He doesn't need you to operate. But you need him to operate. You fling him off if you want to. You kick him off if you want to. You shake him off if you want to. You have him on the tips if you want to. And I'm telling you, your life's going to fall apart. Amen. This psalmist says, you know what? I'm happy because my life is intact even though I'm afflicted. Even though I've got adversities. Even though it's not easy. Even though I got hardships. Even though I got bad things going on. Although my kids are bad. Although my job's bad. Although my family seems to be bad. Although I had no money. Hey, guess what? God's still good. And I can be happy knowing that. What am I saying? Friend, you need God. He needs to be in the center of your life. Don't make him as a side dish. He better be the main course. Well, he's the dessert. He better not be no dessert. He better be everything. This psalmist doesn't have him on the edge or the side or the top or the bottom. He's got him in the center of his life, and everything else evolves around the Word of God in his life. And this person is blessed. And it buffers him being in the center of his life. And he can deal with adversities and afflictions because of the Word. And so he continues to go back to his God and says, oh, I'm afflicted, but oh, I love your Word. Oh, I'm going through a hard time, but oh, I love your Word. Oh, it's not easy, but oh, I love your Word. Oh, it's difficult, but oh, I love your Word. Oh, God, they're reproaching me, but oh, I love your Word. Why? It's the Word of God that we need. And he knows it. I tell you today, if you don't know it, you better know it. When everything else falls apart, the Word of God still stands. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted. Just about every verse gives reference to the Word of God in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Some of the words used throughout this psalm used to describe God's Word are word, law, saying, statutes, way, commandments, path, testimonies, precepts, or judgments. You'll find all those words used throughout these 176 verses. Each name indicates what the Word of God is and how we should respond to it. The psalmist is happy, and we're going to look at that first point this morning here in verses 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist is a happy person. Notice he says down there, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Because this psalmist had the word of God at the center of his life, he was a blessed or a happy person. By the way, you and I can be blessed too. Say, preacher, how? By keeping in mind three simple things that he says here in these opening verses here. Notice what he says down here, first of all, as we look at the psalmist is happy in the Lord's way. He said, blessed are the undefiled in the way. The word way is a course of conduct or action or a way of life mapped out by God's word. In other words, he's saying, you know what? The person that is unspotted or the person that is pure in the way is going to be happy. By the way, God's way is a blessed or a happy way, and it can keep us undefiled. Amen. Well, preacher, I've got the word of God, and look at the mess I'm into. I'm so dirty, but you didn't keep the word of God then. Because he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. By the way, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself because he was in the Lord's way and he wanted to be without blemish. It says in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel what? Purposed in his heart that he would what? Not defile himself. And so because he had a purpose in his heart, he said, you know what? I'm not going to have anything that's going to make me impure. I'm not going to get involved in anything that's going to put a blemish on me. And by the way, if you're in the Lord's way, that's the mentality that you'll have. And he said, I'm happy because of that. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, it says this about Jesus. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless. Notice this, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. What am I saying here? The psalmist is happy in the Lord's way. It keeps him undefiled. Say, preacher, what's so spectacular about that way? Because there is a broad way. And that broad way leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. May I go further to say, most people go in thereat. Amen. Hey, there is a broad way. He says, blessed, or this psalmist is happy in the Lord's way. Because there is a broad way that seems to bring me happiness, but it's based on happenings and not holiness. Amen. There's a broad way, but the Bible says it leads to destruction. Matthew 7:13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is, notice this, the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The proverb says it this way. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. While the broad way leads to death and destruction, the blessed, happy person chooses the Lord's way of the undefiled and goes onward. And he goes onward because he's going upward. He knows he's saved. And because he's going onward, he's going upward. He knows, hey, look, I know where the end is at. I know where my rewards lie. I know where the king's throne is going to be at. I know how to intercede. I know how to get some prayer. I know how to go to God. I want to stay in his way. It's the way of the undefiled. I'm going to be like Daniel. I'm going to be like my Lord. Be holy. Harmless, separate from sinners. What am I saying? Psalmist is a happy person because he's happy in the Lord's way. He's onward and he's going upward. They don't need the way of pleasure. They don't need the way of prosperity. They don't need the way of power. They don't need the way of popularity or position. Why? They're blessed just knowing they have God and they're undefiled. By the way, when you know God, you don't need anything else. And we get so caught up in this world with wanting this and wanting that. I want a promotion. I want a position. I want power. I want prestige. That's all pride. It's the devil's downfall. This psalmist says, you know what? I don't need that. The blessedness of the happy person comes because he's undefiled and pure. And we can't be pure without holiness. And we can't have holiness without the Holy Spirit. And you can't have the Holy Spirit without being saved. People saying, well, how you doing? I'm blessed. I'm holy. Holy living. No, are you saved? If you're not saved, you got no holiness. You can't have holiness without the Holy Spirit. If I was like, holy, holy, I'm so holy. If you're saying it, you probably ain't. I'm just saying. We need to be saved first to have holiness. Psalmist is happy in the Lord's way, but second of all, the psalmist is happy in the Lord's walk. Notice what he says, blessed are the undefiled, the unspotted, or the pure in the way. They're in the Lord's way here and not the broad way, who walk in the law of the Lord. The psalmist is happy in the Lord's walk. We all had to learn how to walk. I remember G2, bless his heart. G2 started off on his back, I mean, crying and bawling and raising a fit, amen. You know, then he started moving those arms. You know, then he started, you know, those legs started to kick. And I remember when he first came out, the nurse got him out there, and he came out crying. They didn't have to slap him on the bottom. He came out. Because he says, bright lights, killing me, cut him off. I mean, he came out crying and had a mean look too, like, yeah. And I thought, did I look like that when I was that little? I saw him. And as G2 went along, he started moving those hands and moving that head and moving those legs. And before long, G2 did the unthinkable. He started to turn over on his belly. And then he started to do this and do that. And we thought, next comes the crawl. He's going to start crawling. He's going to pull himself up on the furniture, and he's going to start crawling around at this. And he never crawled. But he'd move those arms and move those legs and move this and move that and roll over on that belly and do all this, but he would not crawl. We thought, he's got problems. He's not going to crawl. The natural thing is to crawl. But you sit G2 by something on his bottom, and he'd pull himself up on that, and G2 went like this. And he fell down, started crying again. We thought, well, crawl and get back up. He said, I'm not going to crawl. Put him back over there. He'd get back up. And I can do this. I can do this. Then he'd get a little further. Then he'd fall again. He'd cry again. And we put him back over to something. He'd pull himself up. And before long, G2 was kind of walking around like, I can do this. Then we thought, but you didn't crawl, son. What you going to do if you fall down? I went, the rest of your life, we're not going to keep picking you back up and putting you next to something. You better learn how to crawl. And he kept falling, and he'd get back up, he'd fall and get back up, but he never crawled. Now, he crawled later, but he didn't crawl when he was young. The average child learns from watching you how to walk. The Bible talks about a walk here. Notice what it says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk and the law of the Lord. Just like G2, how G2 started on his back and he rolled over and pushed up and pulled up and pulled up again and started to stand. He wobbled and got balanced, and then he fell down. After a while, he got the hang of it. That's how it is. We first begin in the Word of God. We begin to learn to walk in the ways of God. We stumble at the these and the thous in the Word of God. We stumble at the tenses that are there. We stumble at the dispensations of the contexts. We see all the killings in the Old Testament. Say, what kind of God would do that? We come over here. We see Jesus talking about love. We say, well, he says love over here, and he killed somebody over here. What's going on in this Bible? And we stumble at the walk because we don't understand how God's dealing with people in different times and different dispensations, and he has different things going on. And we look at the Word of God and we stumble and we fall. We say, I give up on this book. I quit on this book. It's contradictory. One minute he says, kill these people. Over here he says, love these people. One minute he says, get away from the world. One minute he says, go into the world and win them for God. I'm through with this book. Sometimes we start to walk, we start to stumble. We get in the Word of God and we can't make sense of it, and so we want to put it down. But the psalmist didn't put it down. He said, you know what? It may not make sense now, but it's going to make sense in the end. I'm going to stick with the stuff. I'm going to continue in it. I'm going to make sure I read my Bible. I'm going to study to show myself approved unto God. I'm going to understand why it's different here. Why it's different here. Why it's different here. We stumble. We stumble. We wobble, stumble, and fall at the words and the works, but we finally get the hang of it, and then we walk consistently in the Word of God, and we continue in the Word of God and the law of the Lord. And if you're not careful, you can actually get prideful. I remember my wife and I first got saved back in 1991. And we began to eat the Word of God, and I mean, just suck it all up. And I mean, like a Hoover vacuum. And everything that we sucked up, we started to apply it in our lives. We started growing and growing and growing. And you know what we did? We got puffed up. We actually started looking at other Christians like this.
Oh, boy.
Sorry you guys haven't grown to our magnitude yet. Look at this great Babylon which we have built.
Didn't give God no glory at all.
Mercy.
We had sucked up all this wisdom. We began to look at people that got saved and we got saved. We said, still crawling, can't walk yet. Still falling. Sorry, Christian. Sad sack. You know what we should have done? Gone to him and helped him. Gone to him and discipled him.
Yes, sir.
But we were too holy. We were too separate from sinners.
Oh, yeah.
We were undefiled to go and help them. We got it, so why don't they get it like we got it?
Yeah.
You know, not everybody grows the same. Not every child learns the same way. Not every child learns to crawl. Not every child learns to walk at the same time. Not every child learns to speak at the same time. They're all different.
Yes, sir, they are, Pastor.
Christians are different as well. He said they walk in the law of the Lord. They have a walk, but sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we get prideful. Think we know more than what we know. The actual mature person has no room for pride because he knows everything that he has, God gave him. And he's got nothing at all. Zero. If you got pride, that's a problem.
Yes, sir.
You're not walking in the law of the Lord because he hates pride. Read the Proverbs. My wife and I got that, and God had to deal with us on that. On several occasions, may I say. So, preacher, what was the lesson? Not good. Not good. But you know what? It worked.
Yes, sir, it did.
It worked.
What
am I saying? The psalmist is happy in the Lord's walk. He's walking in the law of the Lord. It says here, we are walking in this law. It makes us happy when we do this. Galatians 5:16 says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Galatians 5:25 says it this way: "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So this is a spiritual walk. Say, preacher, what should we walk in? Ephesians 2:10 says, walk in good works. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. By the way, notice the succession. I'm undefiled in the way, and so now I can walk in the law of the Lord. I got to separate myself from sin. The more the word of God I get in me, it should separate me more to walk for God more. Amen. Hey, by the way, you want to do a ministry in this church? Then you need to get in this book. You need to get in this book. And see what it takes to be undefiled in the way and what it takes to walk in the law of the Lord. Ephesians 4:1, Ephesians is big on the walk. He says, walk worthy of your vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So I'm going to have a worthy walk. I'm going to have a walk that's different from the Gentiles. I'm going to have a walk that's in love. I'm to walk as a child of light. I'm to walk circumspectly. And that's going to give me a happiness about the Lord's walk. By the way, when you walk that way, people will notice you. You know what you do when people notice you? Give glory to God. Remember when Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself and he was different? Who did he give the glory to? God. Remember when he got thrown in the lion's den? Who did he give the glory to? God. Remember when he interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar? Who did he give the glory to? God. Every time he got promoted with some kind of spiritual endowment, guess what? He gave the glory to God. When you walk in the law of the Lord, God should get all the glory. All fingers should point to him. No finger should point to you.
Amen.
If they do, you're not walking in the law of the Lord correctly. And if the fingers start pointing to you, you know what you should do? Redirect them. Redirect them. It's for the glory of God. It's not for me. It's for the glory of God. So we see the psalmist happy in the Lord's way. We see him happy in the Lord's walk. But then we see the psalmist happy in the Lord's will. Notice what it says down there. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. The psalmist is happy in the Lord's will. There's nothing like being in the will of God and knowing it. And the psalmist finds himself happy in God's will of purpose. Notice what he says here. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with a whole heart. People whose will is subject to the will of God and the word of God are seeking God with all their heart. And for them, there is no greater purpose than seeking the will of God for my life. That is my highest purpose. That is my highest good. Lord, what is your will for my life? Well, first of all, son, I will that you be saved. Second of all, son, if you are married, I will that you love your wife. Hey, third of all, I will that you love your children and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I do this also then. You need to be a servant unto me. and work not as unto man, but unto me. Those are some wills of God for my life. Guess what? He's also called me to preach. My job is to preach the gospel. What's your capacity in which you were called? There's a will of God for your life. There's a purpose for your life. God didn't just create you just for no reason. Let me just create some people because I got nothing else better to do. God has a purpose for you. The psalmist says, you know what? I know the purpose of God in my life, and it's to seek the will of God. And there's something about this. The blessed person keeps God's testimonies and seeks him. Testimonies was used to describe the Ten Commandments. So the blessed person desires to keep right with God and with man. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Ten Commandments. That's the precepts here. That's the testimonies that he's referring to. Jesus would later summarize those ten into two in Matthew 22. He said this in verse 36. Master, they asked him, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang, notice this, all the law and the prophets. So in other words, this blessed man, he's keeping his testimonies. He's keeping the Ten Commandments. He's making sure I'm loving God with all my heart, mind, and soul. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. That's my purpose in life. That's for God's will in my life. He said, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Let's seek him with a whole heart. By the way, the blessed or the happy person understands the purpose behind all this is to seek him. Notice down there in verse number 2 again. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Notice this. And that seek who? Seek him. May I give you guys some spiritual understanding this morning? The object of this book is not this book. It's not. The object of this book is not this book. The object of this book is that you know God. This book is a means for you to know God. That's the purpose. He said, blessed are they that seek him. God gave you his word so that you could seek him. Amen. And seek his will. Why do we leave last wills and testament? So that people can see what your will was to do it. God left this book so that you can see what his will was so that you can do it. So that you can see what the purpose is for your life. And the psalmist said, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. I'm going to be right with God. I'm going to be right with man. But the goal is to seek him with my whole heart. Because if I seek him, that's going to make me what I need to be. So it's not about the book. A lot of people say, well, you know, I love the Bible. I got the Bible. I want the Bible. I want the Bible. But the Bible should lead you to God. Amen. Now, we should love the Bible. But it should lead us to God and a deeper relationship with God. The blessed or the happy person understands the purpose behind all this is to seek God with a whole heart, being occupied with Jesus. Notice down in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought who? Thee. O let me not wander from who? Thy commandments. Go over to verse 34. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my what? Whole heart. Verse 69, all the way over there, it says this. The proud had forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my what? Whole heart. What does it say? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. By the way, God saved your whole life. He wants your whole life, and he wants you to seek him with your whole life. You know, we'd have more missionaries, more preachers, more people going to full-time Christian work, and we have more people seeking God with their whole heart and not other things.
That's right.
Amen. I'm just saying. We're so enamored with this world and what this world has to offer. Man, I want to be a computer specialist. I want to be an athlete. I want to be a sports person. I want to be a movie star. I want to be a TV star. I want to be this. What does God want for your life? What does God want? See, the psalmist said, you know, I'm blessed because I'm undefiled in the way. I know God's way. I'm walking in his law. I know what this walk is all about. I'm blessed because I'm keeping his testimonies. I'm seeking him with my whole heart. I understand his will for my life. Now, folks, I have afflictions, and I have adversities, But you know what? I know I'm in the will of God. And I can be happy in the will of God. I don't have a lot. I don't have the best. I don't have the finest. I have used stuff. I have old stuff. I have raggedy stuff. But I got some new stuff, too. I got some good stuff, too. But you know what? If all the stuff is gone, I still got God. And I'm not going to waste a lot of time seeking after stuff when I can seek God with my whole heart. I'm not going to let anything else get in there with my whole heart. I'm going to say, God, here's my whole heart. Now you take it to where it needs to go. I want to be undefiled in the way. I want to walk in the law of the Lord. I want to keep your testimonies. I want to seek you with my whole heart. And so wherever my heart goes, you go with me and let's seek it together. Hey, if you don't, you know, you shake it off. You fling it off. Go your own way. Fling God that way. Fling God that way. Shake him off that way. Shake him off that way. Go your own way. And God, I'll come back when I'm done with my stuff. The psalmist says, you know what? I'm not that way. I'm not that way. I love your walk. I love your will. I love your way. It's nothing like being in the will of God and knowing it. The psalmist finds him that way. And he understands something. Warren Wiersbe says this in a commentary, if God is to bless us, we must sincerely seek the Lord, not just study the Bible. It is not facts in the head, but truth in the heart that makes you grow in the Lord. Amen. Read that again. If God is to bless us, we must sincerely seek the Lord, and not just study the Bible. It is not facts in the head, but truth in the heart that makes you grow in the Lord. When I was dating my wife, and when I would go home from college, and when I was in the military and boot camp, she'd write me all these love letters. Now, how would it seem if I got with my honey, left her over there, and took those letters over here? Look at these letters. Woo, man, my honey's good. And she's saying, well, what about me? What about you? You wrote this stuff down, this letter. Amen. I love this letter. Smells like you. Oh, boy. Look at those words. Ooh, and I'm kissing the letters. She's like, well, what about me? What about you? I got these letters over here. Amen. That's how some of us give the word of God. The letters told me all the things that she wanted so that I can go to her.
Amen, Pastor.
And run to her. We read the Bible sometimes like it's this little letter here. And the whole goal is to seek God with the whole heart. To seek him. And we're just seeking the Bible. God doesn't want you to seek the Bible if that's the end of the story. The Bible is there so that you can seek him. And when you seek him, you seek his will. And you see his walk. And you see his word. And you get in his way. What are you seeking? Is Bible reading the end of the goal for you? Are you trying to seek God? Are you trying to seek his way? Are you trying to seek his walk? Are you trying to seek his will? Because he wants you to seek him, to know those things. But you got to have your whole heart. You can't just shake it off and fling it off and say, well, God, I don't have you in the center of my life. I got you over here. And if I have time for you, I'll read you. And if I got this and I've got this, no, God says, read it. Seek me. And put me here. And surround everything else around me. And I'll help you organize it all.
Amen.
Why? I'm seeking him.
That's right.
By the way, God said, all things should be done decently in order. So God understands order. The times when we don't have organization probably is when God is not the center. And we're not looking at God-given priorities.
That's right, Pastor.
Hello? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Might be stepping on some toes now. But I'm not seeking God-given priority. You know, as a man, my first priority is to God. As a married man, my second priority is to my wife. As a man with married with children, my third priority is to those children. With a man that's got a family with priority to his children, my next responsibility is to the house of God. You say, well, what about your job? That job can fire me. I still need the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. God help us to put our jobs before the house of God. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have responsibilities and things like that, but I'm saying when you put your job before God, you're in trouble, son.
Yes, sir.
Because that job will fire you just like nobody's business. And guess what? And you're going to come back to your, can you help me, Pastor, get a job? Can you put some references in for me? Yeah, he's unfaithful. He don't tithe. He's a God robber. He's a thief. You really don't want this guy employed. Yeah, I'll give you a reference, all right. They come to church when they get good and ready. They don't bring their Bibles. They won't bring all their tools because they don't bring their Bibles. They want to bring an iPad instead of a Bible. Amen.
I
know I just shot some of y'all Bibles in them. Just shot the Bible. That pow. What am I saying? Hey, if you seek God, you don't need an iPad. What are you going to do when an iPad breaks? Amen. I'll give you a reference, all right? So the God-given priorities for me would be to God first, my wife second, my children third, the house of God next, then my job.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
Then my job. Why? You need the house of God all the time.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Jobs going to come and go.
Yes, they are.
You look at the priority in the Bible. God gives us priorities. Yes. And when God's in the center, we ought to be. I've got balance. Amen. When he's over here, I go that way. Over here, I go that way. God says, I want you to walk this way. What I'm saying, this blessed man, he's got some things about him. He's in the Lord's, he's happy because he's in the Lord's way. Happy in the Lord's walk. Happy in the Lord's will. Notice what it says in verse 3. Finish this verse out. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. He's not only happy in God's will of purpose for his life, he's happy in God's will of purity. They also do no iniquity, walk in his ways. Let me give you this. The psalmist states, blessed or the happy person does not practice wickedness or unrighteousness as a way of life. And he doesn't practice as a way of life because he's following in the Lord's way of life. Let me give you something here. He says, they also do no iniquity, none, they walk in his ways. So in other words, what the psalmist is saying, I cannot walk in this way whilst I'm walking in that way. Hear me now. They also do how much iniquity?
No.
No iniquity. What do? They walk in. You can't walk in God's ways and do iniquity. The two are diametrically opposed. You can no more walk in iniquity and walk in the Lord's way as same as you can go the speed limit and break it at the same time. You can't go north and south at the same time. You can't go east and west at the same time. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. You're one or the other. You can't walk in the Lord's ways and do iniquity at the same time. Likewise, I cannot do iniquity while walking in God's ways. Say, preacher, but people sin all the time in the Lord's way. No, they just jumped out of God's way when they start sinning.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
By the way, let me help you out. You can sin in church. You can sit there and look at me with a pious attitude like you're really paying attention and thinking about the football game. You're not walking the Lord's way that way. You're thinking about the job already. You're not walking the Lord's way. You have jumped off of that track and jumped on another track because those two don't go the same way. They do how much iniquity? No iniquity. Why? Because they're walking in God's ways. So when you start going in iniquity, you just jumped off the Lord's way. So you cannot do both. And being in church doesn't make any, it doesn't matter. Remember the man that got possessed with demons in Jesus' time? Where was he at? In the synagogue. You know where he was at? In church with demons. Demons like to go to church, too. They like to spend most of their time here. Why spend time out there? They already lost. I want to get you to keep you since you are saved so that you won't get nobody else saved. I want to keep you in iniquity. Jesus could not and did not sin because his life was ruled by the word of God. Jesus showed to you and I how it was done when he was tempted to iniquity by Satan. He just gave him the word of God. I'll give you these real quick and we'll close. Matthew 4:4, when Satan tempted Jesus to turn the stones into bread. Matthew 4:4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 4:7, when he said, jump down from the top of this pinnacle, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Matthew 4:10, when he was tempted with all the kingdoms of the world, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What does verse 3 say? They also do how much iniquity? No iniquity. Why? They walk in his ways. Jesus answered him with an affirmative word of God.
Amen.
May I help you, Christian? The same way Jesus fought the battle, he showed that you and I can fight that same battle with the same word of God. All we got to say is, it is written.
Amen.
It is written. But as was said in Sunday school, I got to know where it's written. Got to know what it says. Got to know where it's at. Got to know how it applies. You say, wait a minute, but Eve said it is written too. Yeah, but then she got in a dialogue. When you say it is written, you know what you do? Turn around and walk. Eve stood there and said, well, you know, God said this and God said that. And he said, well, did you consider this? Did you consider that you never seen death before? Have you considered that, Eve? Yea, have God said, you shall not surely die. Have you seen death? Have you seen that, Eve? Well, you don't come to think of it, I guess I haven't. Well, how are you going to do something you ain't never seen? Because God said so. It is written. You and I can save ourselves a whole lot of trouble if we just say it is written and then leave. Don't leave a forwarding address. Amen. What am I saying? The psalmist begins to detail to you and I how to be happy in the Word of God amidst afflictions and adversities. And he starts out by saying, you know, I'm a happy person. I'm blessed. I'm a joyful person. And I'm happy in the Lord's way. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. He says, I'm not just happy in his way. I'm happy in his walk. I'm walking in the law of the Lord. Then he says, blessed are they that keep his testimony and seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. I'm not just happy in the Lord's walk, but his way and his word and in his will. I know the purpose for my life. I know the purity that required in my life. I'm just going to love the Lord because people are going to be against me. I know it. And people are against this psalmist. But you know what? He's not going to let that bother him at all. He's going to continue the way. He's going to continue the walk. He's going to continue the will, knowing the purpose, knowing the purity that it requires. And he's going to stay with resolve with that. I wonder today, where are you at? Are you seeking this book? Or are you really seeking him? The object of this book is God. The object of this book is Jesus Christ. The object of this book is to know him as your Savior. The object of this book is to get you in the way so that you can get in the walk, so that you can fulfill his will. His will for purpose in your life, his will for purity in your life, because that's what's going to win this world. That's what's going to win this, and that's what's going to keep you safe. And this man says, I'm happy. And guess what? We can be happy too. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Maybe today you're here, you say, preacher, you know, I've been at this thing the whole wrong way. You know, I couldn't understand the these and the thous, so I gave up and got a different version of the Bible. Don't do it. Get the King James Version back out. Get you some discipleship going on. Get trained in the Word of God. Well, preacher, the way was hard, and so I left. It was easy. Everybody followed. Well, preacher, I was walking that way, but, you know, I messed up. Well, get back up again, just like G2. Well, you know, I was fulfilling the will of God and a purpose and purity, but I got tainted and I got dirty. Well, get back up, confess it, and keep going. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. The object of this book is to get you to salvation, get you to know Jesus Christ. How many would say, preacher, but died right now today, I know beyond a shadow of doubt that I'm saved on my way to heaven. My hands raised up to give testimony, glory to God. I know I'm saved. You'd raise your hand. Testimony to God. I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm born again. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You ain't put them down. I'm going to say, you know, preacher, I, the truth be known, I'm not saved. I'm not sure on this thing. I'm kind of cloudy. I think I'm saved, but, you know, I've done some things that maybe God can't forgive. And would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not sure about this salvation thing. Pray for me. Anybody at all? Raise your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. But then lastly, how many would say, preacher, you know, you're looking at this thing called the way. Undefiled in the way. I don't know about purpose in my heart so much to, like Daniel. I don't know if this walk is the walk that I can do. You know, I don't know if this will of God for purpose and purity. I've got some questions about that. You know what? Why don't you seek God? He said, blessed are they that seek him with a whole heart. Why don't you wholeheartedly and honestly say, God, I'm going to make you the center of my life this morning. I'm not going to have you on my fingertips, on my toe tips where I can fling you off or shake you off. I want you in the center of my life. And I want everything to evolve around you and your word for my life. Guide me, direct me in everything. And you say, preacher, pray for me. Raise that hand. Preacher, pray for me. Amen. Amen. Hands going up as well. Amen. You know what? Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, you know, I want to seek you. I want to seek your will for my life. I want to seek your purpose, your purity. I want this walk. I want this way. I want your will. I want to be happy like this blessed man, even through adversities, even through afflictions. I want to be this way. Maybe today you need to come. Give your heart to God. Father, thank you for this opportunity to look at this blessed man. Lord, I know that this man reflects my life in some areas and then other areas he doesn't. And Lord, I desire for this man to reflect my life totally. I want to be this type of man who seeks you with my whole heart, in your will, in your way, in the walk. Lord, with the purpose and with purity, God, I want that to be my life. And many others have prayed that same prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd work in their lives. Help them to have you as the center, doing what they ought to do for you, for the glory of God. Thank you so much for loving us. Bless this invitation. Lord, there's one without Christ. Save that man, that woman or boy or girl in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. As Brother Wilbur sings, you come. Maybe God spoke in your heart. You need to come. Psalms for the soul.
Out of my bondage.
As he sings, you come. Psalms for the soul.
Jesus,
the psalmist is a happy person. He's happy in the way.
Jesus,
happy in the walk. Happy in the will of God.
Freedom,
he keeps the purpose real. He keeps the purpose, purity
Jesus,
right.
Jesus, I come to thee.
How about it? Is he the center?
Out of my sin.
Is everything else evolved around him? Does he help you make your decisions?
Out of my want and into my
life. If not, would you pray? God, I want you to be the center of my life. God, I want you to be in control of my life. I want your will. I want your walk. I want your way.
Jesus,
I want your purpose. I want the purity. I want to be real. I want to be right. This psalmist is bearing his soul through good times and bad times. Jesus, I come. The psalm. Jesus, I come. Maybe you need to come and pray.
Jesus, I come.
Say, preacher, can I pray from my seat? You can. When you come to an old-fashioned altar, it just kind of puts a seal on that thing, gives you a knowledge that you stepped out. And you went public and said, God, here am I. I'm making a decision for you today. I want this walk. I want this will. I want this way. I want this real purpose. I want this real purity. I want it to be right. Lord, I want to do it all because I'm seeking you. Not seeking things, I'm seeking you.
Jesus,
I come.
Jesus, I come to thee.
Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being a great God, Lord. Thank you for Psalm 119. Lord, thank you that it's unnamed as well, so we can't look and say, well, that's David or that's Nehemiah, and so we see what they've gone through. He's unnamed, and so we have no person to put with it other than you. And the psalmist reflecting upon you, and help us to reflect upon you as well, Lord, having you at the center of our hearts. And Lord, may we put ourselves in place of this psalmist. Lord, may we read and look at this psalm as if it were us pinning it down. And Lord, may we make this psalm our psalm. And Lord, as we look at the psalms for the soul and conclude this year with the myriad of psalms that we've looked at, Lord, I pray that this one would be an accurate reflection of our love for the Lord. And Lord, a love for your word, because your word takes us to you. There is one lost today, save that soul. Lord, thank you for our guest today. We do pray that you would bring us back tonight at our desired time at 5 p.m., Lord, you bless in that which we think, say, and do. And Lord, that you would get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name. Brother Hall, if you would come and close us in a word of prayer. Pastors, deacons, don't forget 4 o'clock. We've got our meeting, and then 5.